The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network on the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
That's right. Good evening and welcome to Bears All Access. Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, we've got you for the next 60 minutes and what is going to be a packed, filled show because we've got plenty to get to. It's been an exciting offseason for the Chicago Bears. A new staff. Bears continue to add players in free agency. When you look at Sam Acho a week ago, offseason workouts start next week. When you look at on the 13th, and that plus the draft is only 3 weeks away. And Bears fans, they also got another treat today as the NFL releases the 2015 preseason schedule. And Tom and I will get into all the preseason games of the Chicago Bears, what I think is a very difficult schedule. Want to get Tom's reaction. Plus, we've got a lot to get to. Talk about the offseason workouts, what they entail in terms of the three phases. Hey, how about Peanut Tillman? It looks like that chapter has closed. He has moved on as he has signed with the Carolina Panthers. So Tom and I will reflect on Peanut Tillman's career as a Bear, plus news around the NFL about the officiating. Not only new officials being added, but the first female official will be on the field in 2015. Plus, we've got our Marconi Award-winning segment called Ask Tom. You can hop on board, 312-644-6767. And plus, of course, we want to wrap up talking about the NFL draft, as I mentioned. Who better to break it down over the next 60 minutes than my partner? Let's welcome in one Tom Thayer. How are we doing today, Tom?
Oh, doing great, doing great. You know, the NFL season, it's had a little bit of momentum throughout the combine and so much conversation about the draft, but now it's really starting to pick up momentum. Because when you start thinking individually how guys are putting themselves in position to win a job, and now they start seeing the teams that they're going to go to bat against in the preseason, and then they start thinking about the new coaching staffs or the subtle changes that they're going to have to go through, I really believe that this is the week that you start including the veterans in the NFL momentum, because now with the preseason games being announced, it's bigger than only the guys that you're going to include throughout the draft and the young guys coming through free agency, but you got injured players that you're going to be concerned about. You're getting these off-season workouts, and you're starting to figure out if a guy that was injured last year, is he going to be a contributor this year, or do we have to start looking for youth in his spot? And, man, when you have a new coaching staff and you have a new general manager, you have questions going through your head every single day. And that's a couple months before you actually start putting on football pads to get your team ready.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Tom, and I think you bring up a lot of good points. Plus, not to mention the Bears are trying to install a new offense under Adam Gase and an entirely new defense. Bears fans have never seen the Bears execute a 3-4 defense, maybe some hybrid and variations, but nothing what Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator, is going to deploy in 2015. And, Tom, it's against what I think is a very tough preseason schedule. When you look at August 13th and 17th, the Miami Dolphins, August the second week, week two of the preseason would be August 20th through the 24th at Indianapolis. Then the following week at the Cincinnati Bengals, and then finally finish up at home versus the Browns. Of course, everybody can check out the preseason games on Fox 32 Chicago and WBBM Radio, where Tom will be calling the game. Times are to be announced. And Tom, the reason why I bring up that this is a tough preseason schedule for the Bears to sort it all out, which is a good thing, all these teams at one point in time last year, two were playoff teams. Miami was on the cusp of the playoffs. In Cleveland was a 6-3 team until their season spiraled out of control. So I think a very good test for the Chicago Bears while they sort out their new offense and defense.
You know, Jim, I really do love the schedule. I looked back to last season, and why does everything intrigue me? First of all, Miami came in here, and the quarterback, I believe, had 14 consecutive completions. And so you're talking about confidence in the Joe Philbin offense, in what Miami, how they want to strike the first preseason game, because even though it doesn't mean anything, you wanted to come out of the box looking sharp. And then with the Indianapolis Colts and probably one of the top, the most respected quarterbacks in all the NFL, yeah, will Andrew Luck play very much? Maybe not. But again, he's the leader of this football team in whatever snaps he gets. There's still it's still a reflection upon the leader of that football team, which is from the quarterback position. Cincinnati, great defense, great test, third game of the year. big-time quarterback, all the challenges you want to see during the preseason against an opponent that's outside your division that brings in a little bit of unfamiliarity with some of the guys you're going to play against because you don't know a lot about Cincinnati. And then Cleveland, last game of the year. One thing about Cleveland that interests me, Jim, is I think you're going to have a resolution to the Manziel scenario there in Cleveland. If he's playing in that fourth preseason game, I don't think his future is bright there. But if he doesn't see a snap, maybe he elevated himself to a competitor. But then you think about the guys around the Chicago Bears, a new coaching staff, a new management team. When you're in the fourth preseason game, I think it still matters because there is no way that the way they look at you is ever going to stop if it's game time moments.
Yeah, all good points, Tom, and I love how you broke it down specifically about the Miami Dolphins, Indianapolis Colts, and what the Cincinnati Bengals bring to the table. And I want to start with Miami, as you just mentioned, because the heat's cranking up on Joe Philbin. You know, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, yes, they gave him a one-year extension. They went out, paid big, huge money for Ndamukong Suh, one of the best defensive tackles in football. They've been active in terms of the trade season. Traded Mike Wallace, who's been a headache at the wide receiver position, and pick up Kenny Stills from the New Orleans Saints. Jordan Cameron comes in at the tight end position. And you bring up a good point about Ryan Tannehill. It seemed like that Week 7 matchup versus the Bears is where he started to come into his own. And everybody knows how active the AFC East has been. Joe Philbin's going to try and crank up that team early. So that's a great early test for the Chicago Bears. And what you said about the Indianapolis Colts, people forget this team was in the AFC Championship game a year ago. Andrew Luck, they added veteran guys. And I want you to speak about that when you look at Frank Gore, Andre Johnson at the wide receiver position. Todd Harriman comes in to block the offensive line. And it seems like they're leaving their head coach, Chuck Pagano, out in the wind because they're making a Super Bowl run when you look at the Indianapolis Colts.
You know, I love the signing of Frank Gore because if you need anybody to take a little bit of relief off the quarterback position, and he's such a hard runner that he's the type of guy that can make an offensive line look a little better. And that, to me, that's the one key ingredient in Indianapolis is because they went and made a trade, a big-time trade for a running back that failed them miserably. Now they bring in a guy that has years of success and respect in the NFL. And now Frank Gore can come into this team and be included as a leader from day one. He doesn't have to earn it from any of those guys because he is a leader because of his past experiences in the NFL.
Yeah, Cincinnati, four times been to the playoffs. They're a good football team. And as Tom mentioned, Cleveland, who will they see? Johnny Manziel? Will we see Josh McCown? Or how about Marcus Mariota, who could be drafted by the Cleveland Browns? We've got plenty more to get to on the other side. Off-season workouts start on Monday. Tom and I will break it down and what the Bears will be doing next week. Stick with us on Bears All Access. Welcome back to Bears All Access. Jim Miller and Tom Thayer with you. Hey, you got to check out Inside the Bears. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears. It's a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out the show's segment. Should be a great show this weekend as new linebacker Pernell Mephis sits down with Jeff Joniak. How about Anthony Adams? He's getting in shape. He challenges a couple teammates to some workouts and then meet the Alaska, the great state of Alaska's biggest Bears fan. So make sure you check it out. Brought to you by Jimmy John's. As I mentioned, airs Saturday, 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. Fox 32 Chicago. Well, Tom, I mentioned next week the Bears get to kick off their off-season workouts. Far different than when you and I played the game with the new collective bargaining agreement. Really limited phases or limited workouts for professional athletes nowadays. Three phases that the Bears coaches will be able to work with their new players and a new staff. But, you know, when you look at it, Tom, the new coaching staffs get the benefit of starting before other teams. So seven new coaches, including the Bears, with new head coach John Fox, get to start early. But you look at the first phase, it's really just 2 weeks of strength and conditioning and rehab exercises only. Strength and conditioning coaches can be involved, but no other members of the staff. The footballs aren't allowed, except for the kickers and punters. Quarterbacks can throw to receivers as long as those receivers aren't covered. And Tom, you've covered it a couple of years now with the new collective bargaining agreement. You know, can players honestly get better in the offseason when there are so many constraints on really getting better at their craft?
You know, you said this is phase one of the off season that's connected to the team. I think phase one has to be a commitment by the player. Even though you can't be at the facility, you better be doing something to expedite yourself, making sure that when you go to in front of your team for the first time, that you're ready to go, that you're not a month behind, you're not just starting your off-season program after the season. You better be involved in getting yourself prepared so you are in there competing from day one. If you think you're going to go in there with a new staff and start competing 2.5 months after you start, that scares me. That's going to shorten a player's career. And if a player is not committed to his individual time, that getting in the weight room or some type of early conditioning, you're gonna be behind the competitive edge, just the way that these guys are going to be evaluated this year. And when I think of a player like Slauson, he just got the Ed Block Courage Award. I hear really good things about him out of the weight room in his rehabilitation process. And here's a guy that's going to immediately get the recognition from the coaches for a guy who's dedicated to get back in the field. And that's just a small snippet of one individual. There's other guys that are going to have to go through that same process, Jim. But, you know, it better start by yourself before you think you're going to start day one when you can be included with your team.
Yeah, all good points, Tom. And you go from strength or phase one with this strength and conditioning, and then the following phase two, is a three-week duration. But, you know, players can go out and actually execute plays. But, Tom, it's not against an actual offense or defense on the other side of the line of scrimmage. No helmets can be worn at all. And, you know, I always stress on the development of young players. You know, and, Tom, think of the calls you have to make as an offensive lineman. How can you go out there and execute plays where you're not making actual calls against defensive look, again, to get better at your craft on game day?
You better pay attention to the classroom, because when they're up on the board or they're watching tape and they're giving you examples with bodies in front of you video-wise, you better take that out to the field. And that's the thing about it, is one thing about being a professional athlete is your commitment inside the classroom is just as your commitment on the field, because you can't go out there and make mental mistakes. That'll get you cut. But you also have to have a picture in your mind of what the coaches have already described and what they want you to see. But we did talk about it when they did sign Will Montgomery. I think that's a huge speeding up process of making sure your offensive line is organized every single play called when he's in there. And, again, no slight to Roberto Garza, but he's not familiar with the terminology of new offensive coordinator Adam Gase. So I do think that having Will Montgomery in there at center will really expedite the learning process in the entire front group, which sometimes includes the tight end and H-back, according to the proper direction called in blocking schemes.
Yeah, and finally is phase three. That's the four-week. A lot of the fans are familiar with what these are. They're technically known as the OTAs. Those are the organized team activities where the team can go on the field for 10 days of practice. But the team drills are 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11, where it's just offense versus defense. Those are also, there cannot be any one-on-one where you're going one-on-one wide receivers versus the defensive backs and things like that, and no one-on-one in terms of special teams drills. So players, really through the whole offseason program, they can only be at the facility 4 days per week, and they can't be on the field for more than 90 minutes per day when you look at those OTA sessions. And Tom, take us back in your days in terms of the commitment, dedication, you know, and what you did in the offseason to prepare, because a lot of guys used to live at the facility to try to hone their craft.
Right. You know, it was a full-time game in the weight room, and that's where your confidence came from, the strength, and we also developed tremendous camaraderie as a team, because it wasn't offense, defense. It was teammates trying to help each other get stronger, and you became closer. You became more competitive. The encouragement never stopped inside the weight room, and I do think that's important structure in the architect of a team. And then when you carry that out in the field, if you don't have the physical conclusion to every play that has full pads, there's so many minor details to making sure that you put together a team offensively and defense, because the footwork is exact. The handwork is exact. Your head placement, everything. It is a very design specific. It's not a general area. So I do think when you get to these OTAs, you get a chance to go over the really small details that are going to make the biggest impact in the offense.
No doubt. John Fox and his staff, they're going to cover a lot of ground. And young players, they're going to have to catch up. Think about David Fales, already learning a new offense, going to have to learn quickly with the new schemes and systems. We've got plenty more to get to on Bears All Access coming up next. Let's talk about and reflect about Peanut Tillman, a great Chicago Bear. In the NFL, they're unleashing some new officials in 2015. The first female official will be donning the field in the NFL. Stick with us on Bears All Access. All right, we're back. Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you on Bears All Access. Check out the Super Bears Shuffle 5K Run. Takes place Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. We will continue with Ask Tom in the next segment. You can hop on board, 312-644-6767. And Tom, you know, I think, you know, everybody in the Bears organization, Bears fans in general, I think any football fan really would salute the career of Charles Tillman as a Chicago Bear. News broke today that he signed a one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers, but two-time Pro Bowler when you look at Charles Tillman. Walter Payton, NFL Man of the Year in 2013. Ed Block Courage Award winner in 2009. Salute to Service Award winner in 2012, and a three-time Brian Piccolo Award winner 2003, 2008, and 2013 as well. So what a great career as a Chicago Bear. It will continue with a familiar face, Ron Rivera, down there for the Carolina Panthers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be a well-respected Chicago Bear and really loved by the fans, but he's bigger than that. He left a big footprint in the NFL, and I think that's a great quality of Charles, because his style of play, his look as a cornerback, his longevity as a player, in the way that he was attached to his position, that meant so much to the success of the football team, and what a quality person he was. And having a chance to be around him and see his pregame preparation was like no others. So you see why a guy has a lengthy career of success in the NFL and will be remembered as probably the best cornerback in the history of the NFL, or history of the Chicago Bears. I think it's nice that he's going to be reunited with Ron Rivera in Carolina, but it's no guarantee. When I left the Chicago Bears and I went down to the Miami Dolphins, it's not as easy as you think. You're leaving so much familiarity behind between the locker room, the facility, your teammates, the lunch line. Everything that goes about your business is going to change. Yeah, he knows Ron Rivera, but Ron Rivera has to put a Super Bowl caliber football team on the field. So it's not a good guy being signed by a good guy. It's a good football coach trying to sign a good football player to make their team better. And that's the challenge ahead for Charles Tillman. But everything that I'll ever know about him as a Chicago Bear, as an NFL player, it's Hall of Fame character and as high-quality character as a human as I've ever been around.
No doubt about it, Tom. And, man, the other challenge will be to stay healthy. You're really only able to participate in 10 games the past 2 years, but what a tremendous football player. All 156 games of Charles Tillman's career in a Bears uniform. So that is pretty impressive, and want to see it continue with the Carolina Panthers. Well, also this week, Tom, the NFL announced they will be hiring some new officials. 9 new officials were announced by the National Football League. Over the past couple of years, they've had 13 replacements. So that is about an 18.5% turnover. Big news, because the announcements that was made was about the hiring of the first female official, Sarah Thomas, who comes with 20 years experience, head of officiating. Dean Blandino really talked about her qualifications, and she seems eager to have the opportunity and make the most of it in terms of her officiating a ball game. Just your thoughts, because people are going to question, hey, are players or coaches going to challenge a female official? And I don't think it's really a big deal at all. I think players will treat her with respect, as long as she can go out there and call a great game like players expect and coaches expect on game day.
Right. It's going to be about calling a quality game on Sunday. That's what it's come down to. And Sarah did say when she was playing basketball, University of Mobile, she didn't like officials, and she doesn't think officials liked her much. So I think that's a sign of you have to have some thickness in your skin, because what she's going to have to say and what she's going to hear at a really emotional moment on game days is something that you're going to have to guard against. You can't let your emotions be swayed by what you hear players saying to each other or just in the instance of competition. But again, what you said, it's going to be about quality officiating. And it doesn't matter of whichever one of these new officials have been hired, if they're quality officials, they're going to be notarized. They're going to be noted for it. But if they lack what the NFL is looking for out of their officials to make sure they are in control of the games, to stay up with the speed of the game and all the rules, that's what they want to see out of the officials, no matter, you know, male or female.
Well, Tom, I think everybody recognizes, whether it's the fans, coaches, players, I think we all recognize it's not an easy job. There's always going to be some bad calls in a ball game. But at the same point, I give the NFL a lot of credit and the competition committee. As I mentioned, an 18.5% turnover. It means 22 of 119 officials the past 2 years have been let go by the NFL. And why? Because it's about performance. Because if we just go back a month ago at the competition committee of the NFL owners meetings down in Arizona, everybody was talking about replay. And so the competition committee acknowledged, say, hey, why are we talking about replay? Why don't we just improve the officiating on the field? So really it's about performance and officiating being held accountable, much like players and coaches in terms of job security.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's about the integrity of the game. And even at the conclusion of last season with the Dallas-Denver game, when they had a call that still has question marks related to it, even months after the fact, when you get and go back and you have to read the rules and then look at the play. So I think confusion is always going to be a little part of the NFL and the season. But again, it's about the quality of the officials on the field getting the call right. And, you know, if you do have to get it guaranteed by replay, you know, that's what we know of in the NFL right now. But I think generally the fans want to see the right decisions come out of the whistles of the NFL during the course of the game.
And the NFL really acknowledged it back when the new collective bargaining agreement was signed. Remember the replacement officials? Only got to think about that call up there in the Great Northwest, Green Bay versus Seattle. And the NFL recognized we need younger officials who are in better shape. And I think that's been a part of the issue as well. So they're incentivizing older officials to retire and move on in terms of incentives in their contracts. And maybe talk about it from your perspective, Tom. I've been on the in a game where, hey, official, you're not really in the right spot to make that call. And you get some back and forth and good fodder between officials and players, because there is a bone of contention if a player feels that official is not doing his job appropriately.
Oh, I agree. And one thing when is the next Philly offense going to be coming into the NFL? And I think when you get these teams that maybe multiple teams play a Philly style, then you're talking about a faster game offensively, and the officials are really challenged when they got to get the ball placed in the right position, the personnel grouping set up, and then allow the clock or the play to get started. So I do think there's little challenges that invite themselves to the NFL each year, whether it be in Bill Belichick wanting to just put a deceptive formation out there that kind of confuses the defense either into a timeout or giving up a big play. It's all those phases that each year the NFL, when they go back and they look at the process of officiating, there's a lot of things they have to go through, whether it's the tempo of Philly or the deception by Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just to follow up on Sarah Thomas, who will be the first female official in the NFL, John Harbaugh, head coach of Baltimore Ravens, he gave a glowing report about her, saying, hey, she's called a couple of our preseason games. And he goes, honestly, she goes, I thought she was one of the better officials out there. So I really think this is going to go over glowingly, again, when it all comes back to credentials, Tom, for how your performance is on the field.
Right. And, you know, when you do put Sarah Thomas on the field in a preseason game, attention is going to be paid to you, not only by the head coach, but there's a lot of other people that pay attention to the officials. So, again, Jim, I just think it's about the officials getting it right on the field. And if the calls are being made correctly, like I said, it doesn't matter what the scenario is, and it's just the proper officiating.
Fast-paced game. New rules are involved. Plus, we've got more replays, safety of players, all these new rules that are added to the plate of the new officials, and it'll all be on display in week one of the Bears preseason schedule when they line up against the Miami Dolphins. So the preseason schedule announced today, Bears will be playing August 13th through the 17th. To be announced is what it'll be. Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts in week two, and at the Cincinnati Bengals in week three, and finish up the following preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. And when you first always saw that preseason schedule, Tom, what went through your mind?
You know, the first thing that did is when Tannehill really played well against the Chicago Bears, and I know it's a different defense, different personnel. So right there it struck me, I'm really interested to see how Vic Fangio, first game of the year, even though it will be vanilla, how will he show his defense to Miami? And then when I think of Indianapolis, I immediately have respect for Andrew Luck. So I think it's a good opportunity for the Bears to evaluate what they did against Miami, get a little bit serious about game planning in week number two, and then see how you improve from week one to week two. But then again, Jim, I start thinking about the third game, and when you do have Dalton at quarterback in Cincinnati and you have a very quality defensive fast-playing team that understands their system, that's when I'm interested to see what the Bears will do in a hostile environment in the most realistic game of the preseason. So each game has a little of attachment of seriousness to it from week one to two to three.
I brought it up again because next will be Ask Tom. I know there's going to be plenty of thoughts on the preseason games, the officiating, and how the Bears offseason is going to go for the 2015 NFL regular season. Ask Tom is next. Hop on board, 312-644-6767 for your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Stick with us on Bears All Access. Welcome back to Bears All Access with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. Make sure you check out the Schedule Prediction Challenge brought to you by United. They are now taking entries. Guess the 2015 Bears regular season schedule correctly for a chance to win two tickets to every game of the season, including round-trip United Airlines flights, hotel accommodations, and $500 cash for each away game. Visit ChicagoBears.com for the official rules and details. Right now, we are going to go to our Ask Tom segment. You can hop on board, 312-644-6767. Plenty on the plate, from the offseason workouts to the Bears preseason schedule. The draft is just around the corner, so hop on board to have your chance to win a gift certificate to the Sports Authority. So let's get right to it, Tom. Let's go out to Wayne, who's joining us from Pontiac, Illinois. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, not much. Hi, Tom. Hi, Jim. I'm curious to know why they didn't re-sign Charles Tillman. He was actually also one of my favorite players. I thought he was just injured that much where no other team was going to sign him. I think he would have been first perfect to end his career and retire with the Bears. I'd love seeing him. Even if he wasn't up to 100%, he would be a great teacher, and I just wish we still had him back. So I was just kind of curious to ask you my question, basically, is why did the Bears not re-sign him? Thank you.
You know, Wayne, I think we all have a lot of an emotional attachment to Charles Tillman and wish that he would have retired a Bear. But you have to be realistic about it, about his ability to stay healthy the last couple of years. And I think I read that he signed for $3.05 million, which surprises me, because if he was going to come back to the Chicago Bears, I would consider giving him veteran minimum, but I'm not going to pay him a substantial amount of money, because there's certain guarantees that go along with veterans that have a certain amount of years of experience according to being on the contract. So there's a lot of language difficulty that goes along with signing a player that just hasn't been healthy in the last couple of years, although I think he's one of the best Bears ever.
Yeah, and Tom, you bring up good points, and I think it says it all right there, because where would he start? You want to continue to see Kyle Fuller grow at one cornerback position. You look at Tim Jennings, who's still a pretty good corner. So I think, you know, a lot of times when you get up their career and maybe discuss this a little bit, is just the role. I think that role of signing a one-year, $3 million says that he may have a chance to play quite a bit for the Carolina Panthers when I think the Bears want to get younger on the defense with the growth of Kyle Fuller and some other players.
You know, it's nice to sign a player and put that fantasy thought out there of him being a starter and that's going to be out there 16 weeks, 16 NFL games a year. Jim, we both know how difficult it is to make it through 16 games a year when you're young and healthy. But when you're not healthy and you're an older player, it's even more difficult. In the circumstances down there with the heat related to Carolina and everything else, it is going to be a question mark. And you have to understand, it's no disrespect for Charles Tillman at all. It's just the reality of trying to put together a roster that has a real salary cap involved.
Ask Tom, 312-644-6767 for your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Let's go to Greg, who's calling us from Crystal Lake. What's up, Greg?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey
Tom,
Greg.
I got a question real quick. I always wondered, does Cutler have the mindset to go, say, on the one-yard line? And I always noticed that they always go to the huddle, and then he talks, and then he goes to the line of scrimmage, and then he sits there and counts out for like a minute. Can he just go up to the line of scrimmage, hike the ball, and not have any other team get set and just, you know, run
yes,
it in?
I really do think it's going to be a part of this offense is the ability to go to the line of scrimmage with a confident play called and call it. But the last system, it wasn't like that. Every single time you called a play, you were calling two in the huddle. You were doing a defensive evaluation, and then you were making the decision from there. So I do think if you want to sped up tempo by an offense, it's not about the quarterback reading the defensive personnel movement. It's about having a confident play called hit the point of attack and work it. So I'm with you, Greg. Go to the goal line area with one play and a more confidence and speed.
Greg, it's a great phone call asking about, as Tom talks about, check with me's right there. And Tom, you guys, there are universal play calls of what we always called go plays, where it is good against any defensive front that the opponent runs. Maybe just touch on that a little bit so that you can go up there and get tempo and say, hey, guys, we're calling slant 38 boss on the quick, ready, go. You know, and you get up there and run the play, but break that down for us, Tom.
Jim, it's about a bread and butter play because you're going to get in some games where the scenarios are going to be so difficult, whether it's going to be crowd noise, you have a big penalty disadvantage, or maybe there's a specific player on the other side of the ball that you want to take advantage of. And you have to have bread and butter plays. In one of the ways that in the day when you did have those bread and butter plays and you were playing at home or you were playing on the road with limited crowd noise, you could be such the aggressor from the line of scrimmage. You could put the offensive lineman in a stance of strength and confidence and explosiveness and take advantage of that. Use the snap count as a weapon. And that's the key element there, is making sure that you're starting the movement of the play, not defensively, and that's what you need to see, is the ability to harness the strength of the offensive line and be able to get the running back and the rest of the guys in the right position.
Well, we're off to a fast start with two good go plays as callers. Let's go and check out Kurt, who's calling us from Wisconsin. Kurt, you're up.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, Tom, from a player's point of view, you know, we're signing all these players to one-year deals, and I like the proven mentality of that, but as a player, you're trying to build trust with one another and try to build continuity on the team. Is it easy to do that, or are those people just, you know, you're looking at it as a one-year deal and they're not going to be there next year anyway? Is it easy to gain that brotherhood and that sense of trust with those folks?
You know, that, Kurt, that's a good question. It's kind of the weeding out process of football. If you have these guys that are dedicated football players and great pros, they're going to do whatever they have to do to make sure they ingratiate themselves on the team, in the weight room, with their assistant coaches and the head coaches. They're going to do it all. And I think these guys on one-year deals that believe they have a future in the NFL, it's got to be a really exciting opportunity for them, because you can see what one-year success can lead to. And I know Matt Slauson got injured last year, but when he originally came to the Bears as a free agent, he played so well and so dedicated, he was rewarded with a longer-type contract. So those are the guys out there that are going to come in here, and they're going to bust their butt for the Chicago Bears. Or if they're not good enough to be on the Bears, they'll try be looking for another opportunity. But it's the Bears' wishes and hopes that these group of 20-somethings with one-year contract can flourish and guys that you want to sign at the end of the year to multi-year deals.
And you've already talked about the familiarity of a couple, whether it's Will Montgomery on the offensive side of the ball. We talked quite a bit last week about Ray McDonald at the defensive end, actually played for Vic Fangio out there in San Francisco. The latest, who we didn't break down, Tom, was Sam Acho, a linebacker, will be going on his fourth year, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. What did you think about that fit? Because he's been in a 3-4 defense before.
I like it. You know, he's one of the more exciting guys that I want to see out here, because I think when you think of the linebackers and Coach Fangio's past, he does a great job of developing talent. Now, if you're a guy that's dedicated to being a great football player and you have that perfect intersection with the perfect coach, that's when your career can explode. If you want to attach yourself in meetings, in the practices, in the little drills, here's a guy that's proven he can take guys and make superstars out of them. And so I think it's a combination. It's an exciting time for a young football player to be around a coach with a tremendous reputation. And it's a great opportunity for a coach with a tremendous reputation to try to get the best out of these players in, I'll call it, the second level of their career or the second opportunity of their careers.
Well, it's interesting with all the free agent signings, and Ask Tom is still open, 312-644-6767, to win your chance to win a gift certificate to the Sports Authority, and we'll continue it in the final segment of Bears All Access. Let me ask you this, Tom, with all the signings in free agency, Ray McDonald, Sam Acho, all the players that the Bears have brought in, do you try to hone in now on what other needs need to be addressed for the Bears as the draft is really about 3 weeks away? 3 weeks away before the Chicago has the seventh selection in the 2015 NFL draft in Chicago, by the way.
You know, Jim, I think the evaluation of talent obviously has to start months ago when these coaches looked at the players that could possibly have a chance to be here, and you have to watch their attachment to the game tape. Did they break down and get into a physical tackling position when they were supposed to? Did they have all their body mechanics, their head in the right spot if they had an offensive block that they had to pull off? All that evaluation, I think, will be as strict as the evaluation they get when they get to take it to the field, because you do have to have an awareness of these guys before you ever get them on the field. But then I do believe that it's going to be like a motocross start. They'll just drop the gate and everybody's going to run and try to earn the position. And, you know, who right now in this team has a head start? Is it Kyle Long, Jermon Bushrod, Martellus Bennett? And then on the other side of the ball, who is it defensively outside of Kyle Fuller and such? So I do think that it is going to be great fun for the Bears fans to watch the change in the depth charts from the first day you hear about the Chicago Bears to the week before, the day before the opening game.
Hey, could it be wide receiver? Is it the D-line, pass rusher, cornerback, safety position? Where will the Bears go with the seventh overall selection in the 2015 NFL draft? We're going to come back the last segment. Let's keep Ask Tom open. 312-644-6767. Your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Stick with us right here on Bears All Access. Last segment of Bears All Access. 312-644-6767 to Ask Tom for your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And Tom, it somewhat piqued my interest. And before we get back to the phone calls, we were finished that last segment talking about the draft. How aggressive do you expect new Ryan Pace of the Chicago Bears to be in terms of the draft? You know, you look at his mentor down there in New Orleans, when you look at Mickey Loomis, they've been wheelers and dealers all offseason in terms of trading players. He's been active in the draft previously, trading up, trading down, and a lot of it was due to cap space this year when you look at the offseason moves of the New Orleans Saints. But that's the world that Ryan Pace has lived in terms of his grooming to become a general manager. Do you expect him to be pretty aggressive in the 2015 NFL draft?
Yeah, you know, I would hope that he's thinking about players that have an impact immediately, and that's the way it is nowadays in the NFL, that you have to get rookies that are contributors. And, you know, you were initially, when the season ended and they made the change, I said, is there defensive players that can come in there and eventually help mold this defense into what you hope it's going to be? Now you look at the experts and you hear all the people. Boy, there's a lot more receivers inserted in the Bears' position, the Cooper and Kevin White guys that, you know, that are the high-profile receivers out there. And maybe after Brandon Marshall, is that the position they need to go to make sure they have that emphasis offensively that's going to take interest away from the line of scrimmage, even though you still have Forte in the gang that you want to run the ball with. So I don't know. It's before the draft, I mean, before the combine, I was thinking defense specifically. Since the combine, now I'm a little bit more confused and thinking if the playmaker is out there offensively, man, you may have to look at it. You may have to look that direction.
Well, good point, because a lot of smoke screens out there that those specialty players like wide receivers, a lot of teams supposedly going to trade up to get the, whether it's Amari Cooper out of Alabama or Kevin White from West Virginia. Well, let's continue with Ask Tom, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jay, who's calling us from Montgomery. What's up, Jay?
Hey Jay. As far as the Bears go with the draft, what are our chances on a scale of 1 to 10 of actually getting Marcus Mariota?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I think jockeying for position on draft day is gonna take a whole new meaning, and he may be the reason for it. But, you know, it seems like there is a realistic opportunity that he could slide down to 7. In So you're always going to have to, if he is there, boy, it'd be hard to pass him up. But, you know, Jim just talked in the last segment about the aggressiveness of Ryan Pace and John Fox and the coaching staff. And is drafting a quarterback being aggressive because there's going to be a learning curve that you have to go through with them? Or is being aggressive going and drafting a guy like Kevin White, who is a receiver that's a bigger than Cooper, but in really flashed some brilliance at the combine? So that's where I think the confusing part of it is for us, because we don't know the track record of Pace and how he is going to lead a draft for the first time.
And it's interesting. Everybody's got the gap closing between Mariota and Winston. Will he be the first quarterback taken by Tampa and not even fallen? But you would think the Bears would have to trade up, and that would be an aggressive move. Let's go out to David, who's calling us from Bloomington. David, what's up? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, David. Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
My question is,
will the Bears go back to having just a few team captains? I think one of the downfalls last year was that rotation of the team captains. I'd like to know what Tom
thinks. You know, David, that's interesting. I think if you got the bona fide leaders that stand out in front of that group, that they have a respect up and down the line, I think the Bears do have a selection of them. But, you know, I don't know. It's almost like the coaching staff has to get a feel for their players. They got to look at the guys that are enthusiastically coming out to practices in the dog days of training camp, and the guys that have a great attitude from week one of the season to week 16. I know they're not going to know the week 16 attitude, but I think they'll get a feeling of the players in the leadership role early in training camp. And, you know, maybe that's the way you go about it. But I don't know how Coach John Fox goes about his captain choices. Is he a week-to-week guy, or is he captains at the beginning of the season that set the standard for the rest of their teammates?
All great questions,
yeah, it is.
By the callers. And, ooh, this one's tough, Tom. I don't know who I'm going to go with, but I'm thinking about Kurt from Wisconsin, about the prove-it deals, the one-year deals in free agency. He asked about how you can build continuity, and I think John Fox wants that to reveal itself for the Chicago Bears. So Kurt in Wisconsin wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority. And, Tom, I thought it was interesting how you finished up there about team captains. Ultimately, doesn't the team leadership have to come from a strong head coach like a John Fox that player can lean upon? You were with a great strong head coach in Mike Ditka. He's going to tell you where you stand in terms of the backbone,
right,
of your football team.
John Fox is going to be the strongest personality in the room on this football team, because he's got great deal of experience, and he's just seen all the different things that you go through. But, you know, Jim, those guys that are in the locker room getting dressed when John Fox isn't there, the guys that inspire the group position by position, or inspire the room just out of their commitment to professionalism. And those are the way that the leaders are brought about, with their effort in the weight room, in the way they carry themselves in the locker room, in front of the players only.
Great stuff as per usual, Tom. We'll do it again next week. Like to thank all the callers for joining us and all the fans out there for listening to Bears All Access. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.